Hello and welcome to the American Magazine podcast for the week of October 10th. We're joined this week by Father James Martin, who's got another book out. So, Father Jim, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Another book.
Yes, it seems like we have you here every spring to discuss a new title. And this one is called Between Heaven and Mirth, Why Joy, Humor, and Laughter Are at the Heart of the Spiritual Life. So how did this book come about? Why did you think it was necessary to address this topic?
Well, I had been giving a lot of talks on the saints over the past couple of years, and I found that what people responded to the most were stories about the saints and humor, how the saints led joyful lives. You know, you tell funny stories about the saints, jokes that they told, and people were shocked. And it was almost as if they were looking for permission to laugh and to enjoy themselves as Catholics. That's the first reason. And then also, you know, I've run across in my life as a Jesuit and a priest and a Catholic too many what I would call professionally religious people who are, you know, to use a word, grim and kind of morose. And I, especially in the Christian world, I mean, you know, Christ is risen. So I think that's a pretty joyful message. So to respond to this need that I felt and also to try to maybe balance things out a little bit on the happy morose scale.
Well, that's interesting. As I was reading your book, I was thinking of our editorial lounge. We've got pictures of the Jesuit editors of the past, and there's not one smile to be had.
So. No, not at all. In fact, someone told me recently that in the past, when people were told to smile for the camera, you know, instead of being told to say cheese, you know, to smile, they were told to say plum, which would make you have like a sad look on your face. No, the Jesuits all in our editorial lounge look like they've, these are the ones on the wall, of course, look like they've all smelled a piece of bad cheese. They don't look very happy in their vocations, let's put it that way.
Right, right. Yeah. Now, so what is the cause of this? Why is there this feeling that religion should be serious or should be, you know, it's not a cause for laughter, certainly.
Well, you know, I say at the beginning of the book that, you know, a lot of religion is about serious topics. I mean, suffering, death, you know, salvation, things like that. But I advance the argument, you know, other people have advanced it as well, that I think one of the reasons that Christianity is so gloomy in some places, not everywhere, is that I think we have a fundamental misunderstanding of Jesus and his own sense of humor and his own sense of playfulness as well. That means that, you know, if Jesus was the most serious person, you know, ever to live, there's one 14th century manuscript that was supposedly an eyewitness, you know, view of Jesus. It's obviously a forgery, but it was passed around that said he frequently weeps, he never laughs. You know, so, you know, you see that in statuary and all that. But the saints are also portrayed as ultra serious. I was just at a parish last night, a parish that was dedicated to Saint Therese of Lisieux, and, you know, she had a big frown on her face. So there's this notion that if Jesus was serious, then the saints need to be serious, and we need to be serious. But I try to counteract that by looking at Jesus's sense of humor and the saints' sense of humor as well to try to balance things out.
I was surprised to read that the gospel stories in places were actually the original readers would have found them funny.
Yeah. I talked to a lot of scripture scholars who said that one of the reasons that we don't find some of the gospel stories funny, for example, the story of Nathaniel, you know, who says, can anything good come from Nazareth? That's a bit of a diss on Jesus's town. Yeah, it's like saying, can anything good come from New York? Is that, you know, humor is very culture-bound and time-bound, and something that would have been funny in first century Palestine may not be funny in 21st century America. And also, we've heard these stories so many times that they become like an old joke we've heard constantly. It just ceases to be funny. We've heard it so many times that all we say is, you know, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. That's our response to these intentionally funny stories. So I talk about stories in the Old Testament and the New Testament that are funny and would have struck people at the time as Father Dan Harrington says, about one story, hilarious. You know, I actually laugh out loud funny.
Can you provide a humorous story from the Old Testament?
Sure. I always look at the story of Abraham and Sarah, which, you know, is at the beginning of the three great monotheistic religions. Abraham is 100 years old. Sarah is 99, you know, both very advanced in age. And they are told by an angel that Sarah is going to have a baby. And Abraham, quote, falls on his face laughing, you know, which we tend to forget. And then when Sarah overhears this news, she laughs. And God says, you laughed. And she said, no, I didn't. And he said, yes, you did. And when they have a baby, they name him Isaac. You know, he laughs. And Sarah says in that beautiful line, and all will laugh with me because God has brought laughter into my life. You know, so that's Isaac means he laughs. So there is at the beginning of our religion, you know, really Judaism, Christianity, Islam, a story of laughter. And the other book I point people to is the book of Jonah and the Whale. I mean, straight through, I sort of analyze it from a humorous point of view. It's comedy. And Father Dick Clifford at Boston College said, you know, one of the purposes of these humorous stories would have been to humanize some of these great prophets and bring them back down to earth. And as I say in the book, we tend to overlook this. And I think by getting back to those sources and understanding them better and understanding their humor, we can, you know, sort of allow ourselves to be humorous believers.
Well, let's talk about the saints. I was kind of taken with the story of St. Philip Neri, who, I mean, maybe you could describe it. It's very odd behavior,
today. Even today. He was called, at the time, the humorous saint. He had a sign over his door that said, the House of Christian Mirth. I mean, this is a guy who was well-known in his time for doing crazy things to sort of poke fun at himself. The two stories I like are that he would walk around Rome with half of his beard shaved off. To, you know, poke fun at himself and make people laugh, or believe it or not, with a cushion tied to his head. I'm not sure what that was supposed to be. But, you know, people knew him as a lighthearted, funny guy. And, you know, you see a statue of Philip Neri now. You know, my mother goes to St. Philip Neri Church outside of Philadelphia. He's not laughing, for sure. So we tend to kind of tame the saints, take out their senses of humor, their laughter, and in a process, we, I think, start to misunderstand what a healthy spirituality is. If Jesus was serious and the saints are serious, then of course, you know, we have to be very serious and our leaders have to be the most serious of all.
Joy is something I think we're familiar with from, you know, hymns we sing at Mass, but laughter and humor are things that we think may be inappropriate for that same setting. What can, you know, laughter, for example, bring to the spiritual life?
Well, you know, I think I distinguish a little bit in the book between laughing in church, you know, which obviously has its place. I mean, you know, priests tell jokes and some of the homilies are funny, from laughter and humor in the spiritual life, which I think is, you know, what you're asking. And, you know, humor has some very serious purposes. Humor can help us to, you know, not take ourselves so seriously. Humor can help us in relating to other people. Humor can speak truth to power. I mean, there's a story I tell in the book of a mother of a Jesuit who was in a hospital, and the bishop came around. He himself was in the hospital and went into her room and said, listen, dear, I know just how you feel, you know, which is what they tell you never to say in pastoral counseling class. And she said, really, when was your hysterectomy? You know, so putting him in his place, you know, in a kind of a humorous way. You know, Jesus uses humor in terms of his responses and in the parables. You know, he uses humor in his responses to the Roman authorities. So there's lots of uses for humor. Laughter, I think, is just a gift from God, basically. Laughter, I think, is something that we can all enjoy. And really, can we see laughter as something that God is inviting us to, not something to avoid? So as I say, I go through it more in the book. But I think we ignore these gifts at our peril: joy, humor, and laughter. And I think we've gotten away from the idea that a joyful believer, you know, is something to be treasured, not something to be feared.
Yes, and we talk a lot about, you know, the importance of evangelization, and as you discuss, I mean, happiness attracts.
Right.
When you are joyful, this will lead not only people to join the priesthood, but also, you know, to join your church.
Absolutely. I mean, who would want to join a group of miserable people? Happiness attracts, that great quote. That's Archbishop Timothy Dolan from New York, who uses that a lot. And when I was a Jesuit novice, the Superior General of the Society of Jesus, Peter Hans Kolvenbach, came to our novitiate, and we were all asked to sort of pose one question to him. And mine was, how do we increase vocations? And he said, live your own joyfully. You know, it really attracts people. There's something naturally attractive. If you hear a group of people who are laughing in a room, you want to go and see what all the fun is about. So, you know, this notion of kind of the frozen chosen, you know, people who are morose and always serious about religion, you know, 100% of the time, I think is really off-putting to a lot of people. And I think the Catholic Church needs to look at that. How inviting and sort of lighthearted are our churches and our masses, even. You know, it is a celebration after all.
Well, you think about young people and the need to bring more young people into the fold and get them back in church. And I think one of the obstacles is that it's seen as kind of, well, this is serious business. This is what you do when you're an adult. This is not for fun.
Exactly. You know, one of the strangest things that people say to me is, and I always think it's a very odd comment, wow, I've never met a funny priest before. And I think, well, okay, does that mean either that their theology is such that they equate, you know, sort of ministry with mirthlessness, or is it true that they've never met priests that are, you know, lighthearted or upbeat? I mean, it's a strange statement. It's a compliment when I hear it, but it's an odd commentary, I think, on the Catholic Church.
So in terms of the Mass, I mean, is there a way outside of, you know, telling the occasional
right.
joke during the homily to make it a more joyful experience.
Well, I think one way is to smile. I mean, if you're a priest, you know, actually my sister said to me recently, you know, I mean, I take the Mass very seriously and it's, you know, you want to get everything right and do all the rubrics. And my sister said, you know, you're frowning through the whole Mass. And I thought that's not the right way to sort of present yourself. And, you know, even something for the priest, you know, at the sign of peace at the beginning, you know, or the Lord be with you, to smile. And Eucharistic ministers, can you say the body of Christ with a smile? I mean, I rarely see that. I mean, it is a serious moment. You are, you know, receiving the body of Jesus Christ, but it's also a joyful moment. You know, you're participating in communion, you know, and so I would just, it's not that I want everyone to be jumping up and down like lunatics or like clowns, but I think we need to move away from this notion that the Mass is always and everywhere, I would say, somber. You know, they're not all funeral Masses. I think you sometimes see that at, for example, a baptism or a wedding. I'd like to see it more at a regular Sunday Mass.
The sacraments, that's a good point. I mean, I would say at my wedding, I was probably looking very serious because I was very nervous and I wanted to be... You know, you want to approach this with the appropriate seriousness, but, you know, or even your confirmation. If you look at kids going up to confirmation, they're not probably smiling.
Oh, no. And we were told in First Holy Communion not to smile. You know, I mean, I'm not arguing for irreverence or silliness, but I think it's just sort of restoring a little bit of balance. I think that most people would say when they're in Mass, you should be serious. And I'm questioning that a little bit. You might be serious, but not somber or gloomy. I mean, I've been to far too many Masses where I've left, you know, sort of wondering if the priest really thinks that, you know, the Christian life is full of joy or not.
Now, you're obviously in the early stages of promoting this book, but this would seem to be an uncontroversial argument we're making, like, you know, to be more joyful. But are you sensing any resistance that people say, well, maybe approaching this with a little, you know, well, maybe we should be more serious about these matters?
Particularly when it comes to the Mass, yes. People say, you know, I can't believe that we would want to smile or laugh in Mass. But, hey, listen, you know, the gospel stories, some of them are funny and clever. Why wouldn't you smile at that? I think what's interesting for me is the only pushback I'm getting is the topic itself is frivolous. That a serious book would be about suffering, something like that, which once again kind of points out the fact that the emphasis is more towards you know, I guess, somber topics and somber issues. I often tell people here at America, when we get submissions in for Faith in Focus, our sort of personal spirituality column, they are often serious. I mean, 9 times out of 10, or maybe 7 times out of 10, it's about suffering, death, illness, which are appropriate topics for a spirituality column, but they're not the only topics. And we rarely get ones that are not even upbeat, but funny, you know, laugh out loud funny. And I've always wondered, you know, why that's the case. And I think it's an illustration of how easily people, Catholics, associate serious spirituality with suffering. You know, instead of saying serious spirituality is also about joy.
Right. And I think part of it is that it's so hard to be funny. I mean, especially in writing.
Yeah, and also I think we hold back from that. You know, we think, well, that's not appropriate for America Magazine, or, you know, we have funny columns in America Magazine from time to time, but priests, I think, you know, outside the joke, you know, I think they sometimes feel constrained in Mass and sometimes in their personal dealings with people, and not just priests. I mean, all Catholics, you know, priests, brothers, sisters, lay people. And sometimes lay people, I find, you know, who are working in the sacristy are the most serious of all, you know, because they have this image of what should be done in a sacristy. So I think it's a neuralgic problem, and I think the book is trying a little bit to move us just a little bit, you know, further towards one pole.
And like your other books, you share experience with some of your brother Jesuits who do kind of demonstrate this joy in the way that they live.
They do. One of the stories I like is a fellow named, I don't think you'll mind me saying this, Joe Carver, who years ago was preaching his first funeral Mass, and he told me how much care he was putting into it. And really, he came up with this great image of grieving, and he said that grieving is like baking a loaf of bread. I guess Joe is a baker, and he said that, you know, while there's a one particular recipe or a general recipe, there's things that you could do differently. You can add raisins or nuts or something like that, and grieving is like that, he said to the assembled crowd. He said, you know, we all go through the same stages in general, but each of us may do certain things differently. So he was very happy with himself. And at the end of the homily, this woman came up to him and said, "Father, your homily was so beautiful. I don't remember a word you said, but it was really lovely." So, I mean, he said to me afterwards, he said, that sort of showed me who was in charge. You know, it wasn't me. So I think Jesuits are pretty good at not taking themselves too seriously. And I have a lot of jokes like that and stories in the book.
Perhaps you could share one of these jokes with us. I mean, these are things that you often tell when you visit with parishes. Is there one you could pick out?
Yeah, there's a lot of jokes in the book besides just, you know, talking about humor. And one of my favorite that I heard recently is about a Catholic sister who's teaching finger painting to her first grade art class. And the sister walks up and down the aisles looking at what each of her students has painted. And she stops over the desk of one little boy and she looks down and she says, "What are you painting, Billy?" And little Billy looks up and says, "I'm painting the face of God." And the sister said, "Well, that's impossible. No one has seen the face of God." And Billy turns to her and says, "They will in 5 minutes." So, I mean, I think, you know, even just sort of giving people examples of funny religious jokes is appropriate in this book.
Now, finally, I mean, I think it's obvious to people who know you, and I'm a friend of yours, that you are a person of joy, that, you know, you tell good jokes. I mean, you mentioned your dad is a good joke teller.
Great joke teller.
And you've obviously inherited that. You're very good at telling jokes, too. How do you do that? I mean, what makes you
joyful?
One hand, what makes you joyful, but how do you stay joyful?
Oh, well, that's a great question. What makes me joyful, really, is that Christ is risen. The foundation of my joy is the resurrection, really. And I think that even in difficult times, we can look to the story of Jesus, which shows us that death never has the last word, that suffering never has the last word. And then, you know, a very long-term way of looking at it, that, you know, the promise of eternal life. So I think that the fact that Christ is risen and is with us and promises us that he will be with us and also promises us eternal life is really, I mean, that should be constant joy. And frankly, that goes throughout the liturgical year. I mean, that includes Lent. I mean, Jesus is not dead during Lent, right? I mean, he is alive. So that's the first thing. And, you know, I'm not always happy, I think, but I try to be joyful. In the book, I talk about the difference between happiness, the sort of secular understanding of happiness, and joy. And joy really has an object, and that object is God. And I think that even if you are going through difficult times, which, you know, I have in my life and everyone has, you can still be joyful and still be sort of rooted and grounded in that joy. And I think most people would agree with that. Most Catholics would agree with that. But I think that the extra sort of fillip in this book is that humor and laughter are also part of that joy.
Well, Father Jim Martin, the book again is Between Heaven and Mirth. Being published by Harper One. And when's the big day?
October 4th, the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi, who himself was a lot of fun.
Well, that's next Tuesday, so we'll have the podcast up for that week. So congratulations again, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tim.